Mishami Brachos Staff Mem Aleph. Gemara continues with the Inyan about Kavod for Sifrei Torah, for Sfarim, Nogea to sitting on places where they are carrying them, davening in a place where a person has bodily functions, and what to do with it, the Tefillin, and the Sifrei Kodesh, etc. Gemara begins. You can't sit on a bench where the Sefer Torah is placed on. Now again, this is a obviously for covered of the Sefer Torah, that to sit in a place where it's, the Sefer Torah is a lack of cover. So now the Gemara discusses the what was the Maisa? A Maisa Rabbi Elazar. It was a Maisa Rabbi Elazar. She Yoshev al Gabisav. So he sat on a bench. Sefer Torah Nosan Alav. Sefer Torah was on the bench. V'Siyah Melefanav K'Masiyah Melefnei Anachash. And when he found out about that, what happened? His Siyah, the Lashon of the Charedim is Mizdazdeya. His body shook. He shook like it was shaking, as if he would have been in front of a serpent, in front of a snake. Now, what does that mean? In other words, there are different pshatim here. What the pshat was, that the, according to Rashi Silur, he says that means merov tsar, nidmulakak, that inlakash ahisho. He felt such pain as if he was actually bit by a snake, by a serpent. Merov tsar, because of the fact that he disrespected the Sefer Torah that was on the same thing, which he wasn't aware of. And Shmuel brings from the Gemara Menachos, because the Machlokes Amaroi Rabbi Yochanan said you're allowed to sit agabe amita she Sefer Torah munach aleh, and some say, and again Rabbi Lezer, Maaser Lezer, that was Sefer Torah was on the ground, and some say that you're not allowed to sit on it, and we paskin that it's aser Machlokes Amaroyim, and we paskin that you can, it's where Rambam paskins. And he brings down the Tosis as well, Paskins like Rav Yochanan, that the halacha is that the you're allowed to be mutter to do, that the you're allowed to go sit on in a place. Now, the Gemara is going to give qualifications as to when we say that you're allowed to. We seem to Paskin, Rambam Paskins that it's Aser, the Tosis seems to Paskin Rav Yochanan that it's mutter, and we Paskin Shulchan Aruch, like Nachlashit that it holds that it's considered Aser. So the idea is that you had a in the Stasdeya, Shahigish Bedav, like you felt mamish like shocked, like you're almost in pain as the Lashon of the Rashi, again, that it's mamish like as if he was bitten, such pain that he was actually bitten by a snake. And this is the, now the Maisa, we hold that the Be'etzem, you can sit as a Paskin Lalacha, if it's not on the same level, and we're going to see in the Gemara what that means. And you're allowed to go ahead and sit if it's going to be placed on something else, not on the same surface. And the question is, how high does it have to be placed? The Gemara is going to discuss in the next few lines. So the Gemara said, the Sefer Torah is put on something else that's on top of the bench. It's mutter, even though it was sitting on the bench, and this thing you place the Sefer Torah in is a piece of wood or board is also on the bench. So, but since it's Lamaisa, it's higher, it's a different level, that is something that's mutter, we do not answer that. Now remember we said before that even the Rashi Lo brought in the Gemara, Mesechus Menachos, in Bavle, Machlokes Amoraim, even if it's usher in the same bed, the same place. But surely, if it's something else on a high surface, then even though they're both resting on the bench, it's considered that it's mutter. So the Gemara says that and the Gemara again discusses the shilas would be where we see it from. Why? What, how do we know that it's not good? What do we know we have to separate? The Gemara has a different several. In Maikat and other places in Bavle, where the Gemara tries to bring the Yukim from certain Maaser Rabs from Amoraim, that you see that the fact that that you're allowed to do it, that someone at Makbid to put on the same location, sitting on the same level. But Areichem, the Gemara says we allow you to do it if it's al Davarachar. How high? How far does it have to be considered not on the same level? So we have Rova, Hashem Rav Chuna, Tefach, a Tefach. And when Yumi Hashem Rav Zira, I feel culture. Even if it's the smallest amount, it's good enough. It doesn't have to be, even if it's not a Tefach, the halacha would be there has to be more. Now again, halacha lemaisa, there's many different opinions in the Gemara that in Medina, do you need a tefach? Do you need even a kolshu? The tefach of chumrah, and they have halacha. We find shitas halacha that say you need to have even more. That you have to have 10 tefachim. And again, the question is, what's the Medina and what is like the chumrah? Pashas and Shulchan Aruch seems to be, according to the Shach and the others, a kraynim, that Ba'atzem, just a tefach is sufficient, and anything higher than that is merely the chasuda, something extra, a chumrah, that one is not mandated la'halacha. Merak continues with a braisa, that the yaiske she'i malei svar. You have a yaiske, like a sack, that's filled with svarim, and the so it wasn't svarim sifrei kodesh, but it was you carry bones of a mace. So how do you do that in a way that should be considered respectful? You go ahead and you throw it behind you. You could ride. In other words, you're putting it in a sack, in a thing that's you're on the donkey and behind you, but you're not sitting directly on it. That for sure you're not allowed to do. But that you can do, as the Rashlu says, that you're not allowed to do. It's a bizarre and that you surely can't do. So this is the halacha of the. Now, what exactly is these things that we talk about? It's some kind of sack. The Pnei Moshe says that it's protected. It's mekubetik, but it's not there. Now, the question that we're talking about Sifrei Kodesh. It's a Tefer Torah just on Sifrei Kodesh, just on Svarim. And now Sifrei Torah, again, we have Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, Rishonim and Achronim. Again, Shulchan Aruch, whether this applies the same thing with a Sefer Torah, or does it apply even to Sefer Acherim to do that? And I know that there was a Yashav was told that people were transporting a Sefer Torah to Eretz Yisrael, were carrying it, and were putting it up on top of the luggage, with on top of luggage, or in the overhead bin. And a Yashav later, I understand it was told from someone who asked them, and he said he was that could be for Sfarim, yes, but Sefer Kodesh require an extra level of kavod, and placing it up there without protection, where you put other luggage, like a piece of luggage, that is something that we do not allow. Something that he frowned upon, Medina Gemara, that should not be done. Now, the Gemara says, the idea, the concept would be that behind you, so therefore it's the way to carry it, it's the way we do it, and that would be considered proper. Obviously, if it's in a situation where your person needs to travel and it's b'sakana, any way he does it is considered fine as well. Second thing, Gemara, tefillin, ta'ilah, samarosh, marita. We had this before, the halacha of tefillin. You want to tie tefillin on your bed so that you don't forget tomorrow, no one will take it, then you'll remember it tomorrow morning. So what's the halacha? Halacha is, ta'ilah, samarosh, marita. You could go ahead and put it, hang it by the head of the bed, don't do it by the legs or the feet of the bed. We already had this established before. We do it from yesterday's Gemara. If you do that, it's this cover, it's not covered. For the Sefer Torah, putting it by the foot of the bed, and therefore that would be considered also. Gemara says, what did he do? Exactly what we said. Rebbe would hang the tefillin on the top of the bed. He would hang it on the top of the bed. Because again, the same idea that doing it in a different way, by the look of the bed, that would be considered the lack of bizayon, lack of kavod. Therefore, Rebbe did the way we said that, the way the Gemara did outline. Kiskim shem mavavu avatul yalavet kaden dayakula. As long as when you hang it, you don't do it where like you hang it from a basket, and the elatfilim remaile ritzuos lamata. We think that maybe you could go ahead and take a string. Tie it on about your bed, tie the ritzuos, use them as strings to tie it, and let the tefillin, the tefillin shorosh, the actual tefillin shorosh, tefillin shoyad, to hang down, to be tied from the ritzuos. That is something that you can't do. That is a lack of kavod. And that's like I said, the Haredim says, you're carrying something in a bag, you tie a string on top, and you let the things hang in the bag going down. That, he said, is inappropriate. And you can't do it. You have to do it derech b'zayon, but rather the kesisa tefillin should be lamaila, and then the tefillin itself should be on top, and then the ritzuos should be what the strings should be, which is not on the same level of kedusha as the tefillin themselves. Those things are the things that should be hanging down. That would be the proper way to do that. Now the Gemara again says the Rashi Masalu brings down from the Gemara Menachas that even there the halacha of the Gemara discussed this shaila, and the Gemara says that Rebbe ki mole kisitila, what he did was, you think it means you could put it, you hang it down directly from your bed, and he says no, that you would hang it from like a not to be in the ear, but rather you put it in a kisa, you put it in a some type of box, some type of basket, and that's the way we allow you to do it. But they're just to hang, even from the tefillin itself, whether it's suicide going down, even that's something that would not be considered appropriate, and you should have that. Now this lemaisa is different. This is the way the Rashi Masalu learns. Some say it means like a, like Rashi Masalu says it means like a key, mafteach. The lashon he uses is it's a, considered a mafteach, and that you the way you would hang a key on the side of a door hanging down, so this would be the same thing as hanging it this way in a nail in the bed, or a nail or a peg or something by the bed, and this would be hanging on that. That would be the proper way to do that. Otherwise, it would be considered a David Bizayon. Even the only way that we allow you to do that, and the or putting into a sock, putting into a bag, is the way we do it. Again, today we don't carry around our tefillin without a bag. So it would be putting the bag and hanging the bag up would be permitted in such a case, because there it's all, the tefillin all fold up, like the Mishnah Berurah says, and that would be considered okay, where you're not hanging the ritzuos, where the tefillin themselves are hanging from the ritzuos. That would be unacceptable, that you can't do. So that's the Gemara. Tanamilin Abraisa, Rab Kalafto Ben Shol, Hoytesh Bitulasa, a person who goes ahead, who's davening, and Otishi sneezes. Simen ra lo, it's a besimen ra. What does it mean? What's wrong with sneezing? So the Gemara explains what this means. Hada de adama, that what you say is a simen ra. Omelamata, that means not a sneeze, but it means that a person passes gas. Avolamayla, but a regular sneeze that comes from a person's mouth, his nose, lo, that's not what we call, that's not considered a simen ra. If a character we find in the Bavle, that it's even more kakeret. It says over there that sneezing is a davar tov. It's a person sees it's healthy for you. Therefore, you give out some germs that you have in you. So mamela, it's a chesed that a person does that kakeret. It's a simen tov when he davens. You're trying to explain, and not the simen ra. But lemaisa, a person, and the rosh can explain what this is. A person who passes gas. That is something that's considered a simen ra, if he does that during davening. And the because again, it affects your tefillah, and it means you can't properly have the kavana properly for davening. And mamela, therefore, that's considered a simen ra. And that's a halacha you're not allowed to. There's a halacha that a person, it feels that he has to pass gas, he has to stop davening, wait till he passes. And even then, if there's any reyach, he has to wait till that. The reyach is gone. That is the halacha that we say. It's not just the simen ralo, but rather medita de gemara halacha in brachas. You can't do that. You can't even daven. You have to wait until the ruach that came from there is the simtid went away. So the gemara says the gemara like this. The gemara says what's the proper procedure with this. So the gemara says, ask you about Rabbi Chanina. This is according to Shita Rabbi Chanina. What did Rabbi Chanina? And he says, Rebbe, mahapik ma'atesh. I saw Rebbe yawned, and when he was sneezing, noisy yelop, he put his hand by his mouth, but he wouldn't spit. In other words, that when a person davens, this stomach gave him from coming from his mouth and from his nose. When he opened, you're yawning, when he's sneezing, your mouth goes open, and that's not a cover ticker thing. It didn't really, like you're in front of Hashem, you have your mouth goes wide open. So what he would do is he would cover over his mouth. And that's the proper way to do so. But there are covered. No sinal piv. Avaloi raikeg. But he would not spit. That you can't do. That you can't. We'll see. I think we're going to qualify that as well. What does it mean, larukuk? Where can't you spit? Is there any time that a person can do that? We're going to give a clarification on that in a moment. That you could do. This is the halacha that a person goes ahead and a person like is yawning, according to his Mishnah Slow, a person like is going to sleep. What's a lishon? So it shows the way he's tiredness by yawning. That's something that's inappropriate. Opening your mouth in the middle of davening is something that should not be done. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, what? But the halacha is that a clearly. So we said passing gas is a siman ra. Sneezing is not a problem at all. It's not a siman tov. It's something a person does. Faket, it may even be a siman tov. But what we're saying is, but at the same time, when a person does so, and his mouth goes open with through yawn or through a sneeze, he should make sure that he covers it over. Says the Gemara, "Av yoichranama." We have a makolikas nageya, the halachas of spitting. Afilu reike. When it says a person can even allow to spit during davening, deshia because kosar nuki, knowing that his mouth should be able to be clean. What does that mean? It means that a person has saliva in his mouth, and he doesn't want to swallow it, and it's affecting him. So when your davening is affecting your kavana, so you're allowed to spit out, or you're allowed to spit. In other words, so you can't. No, it's not arguing that, look, is that spitting is permitted. Spitting is not permitted unless you have it in your mouth and you want to be able to expel it, so you can daven properly. It's affecting you. It's bothering your kavana. So the Gemara says even that you could do lefana vaser. You can never split in front of you, but the achur mutter, you could turn around and spit behind you. That you could do. So the Gemara says again, because you're davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pashtus, the Gemara says in the Bavli, and you spitting in front of you, it's like you're spitting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're davening too, you're davening in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you spit it, that would be inappropriate. But Lachurav, do it behind, that would be considered okay. The Yamino, Aser, spitting to the right of you is also Aser. The small mutter, but to the left is mutter. How did it exist? Where do we see it from? Miyipo mitzitka elef. Gemara says that the 1,000 can fall on your left. Gemara says, Yipo elef, Yipo mitzitka elef. So the pasuk continues talking about the it's a pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk telling you that the you have many, many enemies on your right, but in the left you have less. You only have elef, only 1,000. So, therefore, to the right, you can't spit, but to the left, which is the less side, the less kosher of a side, that you're able to do. So you can't spit. The person has to spit. Halacha, we said before, you can't spit. That's the proper way to do so. But if a person has to, affecting your davening, you can spit. But not in front of you, only in back of you, and not on the right, but on the left. Now here there's a shayla again, the acharonim. When we talk about the right and left, to your right and left, to the right and left of the Shekhinah that's in front of you, what are we referring to? So we have a machlokes again in Akronim, what the proper way to make nafka mina, obviously, because if it's keneged, the right, if your right is the left of the Shekhinah kenegdcha, so which one is the proper way to do so? So l'maisa, we have a different opinions in halacha. Pnei Moshe brings down that the Rishonim seem to accept the fact that you're allowed to be able to go ahead and spit in base goes on your right, even though the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. But lemaisa, it's going on a person's. The right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are less mazikin, and therefore you go spit towards the left. Your left, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right, and there's more mazikin there. There's less mazikin there, so it has less of an effect. But otherwise, it's side yamino shodom, there's more mazikin, because that's the left of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's more mazikin. And Mamela, therefore, you wouldn't do it. I mean, he brings down the Rashi Misalu that there are those who say differently. Rabbi say, no, you know the other way around. So therefore, a person is. It is a shayla in the acharonim, which is the proper way to do so. But the nusach that we have is that the right is your right, because your right is facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's left with your less mazikim, and that's what we do so that you'll be protected from being attacked or hurt by the mazikim. Says the Gemara, Kalama Moidi Be'arukok Nitzlon. All of them, everyone agrees that a person who spits stam, do us, that's us. In other words, the whole machlokes we just said saying, was spitting you can't do. Rabbi Yochanan said you could spit because you're doing it to clear out your mouth. However, where you're spitting just for the sake of spitting, without doing it because you want to prepare yourself to daven properly, Mamela, therefore, that would be considered usher. Kuli Alma, everyone would agree that that's considered usher. That's considered usher. So the Gemara said, again, what is the machlekes here? What is the base of this machlekes? So we have three shitas. We have a shita one that you can't do it at all. Two, you can do it if it affects your davening, and therefore then you can do that. And then we have a third thing, which seems the Gemara seems to say, that in the case where you're not spitting mitam, the purpose of any cheshbon of better tefillah or cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just for the sake of spitting, then the halacha would be that everyone would kliyama lo pligi, that would be considered asr. That would be considered asr. So again, there are two different ways to learn this Gemara. Once again, we have a machlokes between the Charedim, the Pnei Moshe learns a little bit differently, and we'll see, as the Gemara explains in a moment, the proper way to do so, not to allow spit in general, but only spit into a baguette, and we'll see what the requirement of that is. Says the Gemara, Rav Shuba Levi Amar, Haroike Beis HaKnesses, Stam Halacha is a person who spits in a Beis HaKnesses, but Roikak Beis HaKnesses, it's like you're spitting in the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pupil in the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Obviously, because a person is in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're spitting, so it's like you're spitting mamish in front of him, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye. Now again, we're talking about, as we said, where a person is spitting for the sake of spitting. Stop, but not you're doing it because you want to daven better, because it's affecting your kavanah, your tefillah. That's not what we're talking about. In such a case, you're able to spit. That would not be the shaila. So the Gemara said that the karaka be based, you know, therefore it would be considered asr. Rav Yonah would spit. However, he would mashay, he would then rub it with his foot, that it shouldn't be nicker, it shouldn't be remaining any to it. Now, is he saying, therefore, lakatchilo, you can do that if you rub it out with your foot? Or is he saying only that fact he did it, but the evidence okay? So, lamaisa, many learn, the pshat in the Gemara is, that Rav Yonah holds, even lakatchilo, you can spit. If you're going to go ahead and remove the remnant of the by putting your foot on it and rubbing it into the ground, that is not considered a problem. The shayla's on Shabbos where you can't do that. Mishabur discusses what person you can put your foot down without pressing it into the ground, just put your foot down, and that would be considered okay. Now it says, again, it's only if it's nicker. If you spit and it goes underneath something, you have, let's say, a tall grass, and you spit and went inside, and it's not to be seen. Now, look, is there, it's fine, you don't even have to rub on with your feet, it's considered sufficient to do so. So, the shayla is that you can't have a shayla halacha, whether a person could go ahead and spit into a shul. So, there's some that say you could spit in a shul, even when you're not davening. Some say it only applies when you're davening. There's a sheet in the Bavli that says it only applies in the Mokom HaMikdash, based upon a pasuk in Malachim, but really, otherwise, in a shul itself, you can. And therefore, this would be the halakha lemaisa, that the proper way to do so is, again, is not to spit. And if you have to, you make sure that's in the ground, that's not seen, it's not, it's covered over, and nobody can see it afterwards. Interesting is that I remember hearing from one of the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim, that in Radin, the shul of Radin, they had a big sign when you came into the shul, in the hallway when you came in, and it said, no fighting, and out mashtin, don't urinate on the floor, and no spitting is allowed. So spitting was something obviously people lived with, and shuls was something that people did even in shuls, and they had to actually put up a sign that people should not do that. So it's Magel Alocha. Most a person who davens b'nesrei should not spit on the ground until he goes 4 amos away. In other words, you're davening, stop, you have to spit, move 4 amos away, and then spit. Same idea, says the same halacha. Person should not spit, should not go to daven in a place until you go 4 amos away. In other words, if you're davening and you have to spit, walk 4 amos away and spit and then go back. Or if you spit on the ground, then you have to go, same idea, just said the other way, that you have to go 4 amos before you can daven. So the Gemara, we learn Tanya Abraisa. I'm a spala, yoga bin mayim. A person goes ahead and was mashed in. He had to go ahead and urinate. He shouldn't daven in the place where you urinate until you walk 4 amos. Until you go away 4 amos. Same idea, the same as we just said before. Person has to go ahead and walk away 4 amos. Doesn't mean that you just walk 4 amos. Even if you just wait the time. In other words, a chiddush. Not that the distance, you don't have to go ahead and say that aloka that you have to go 4 amos doesn't mean you have to walk 4 amos away from there. What it means, you could daven where you spat, or you can daven right now. The thing is, you should wait the amount of time it takes to walk 4 amos. That is the cheshbon of a wife, and assuming that it would be that whatever ashtinas hamayim, whatever urination you did, it should be already absorbed, and it'll be absorbed, and it won't be nicker, so too the spit will be absorbed. And therefore, if you wait the amount of time, that will be sufficient. You don't have to actually go that distance. So Gemara said that this applies not only davening, it means after davening, a person davening before, finish davening, the look is that you have to separate from davening. You have to separate from that spot. Says the Gemara, Amar Abami, Halacha, Imam Adol Shal Abami Masih Asir. If you say that it's Asir to go until for a person to actually walk for Amos, and the Omer, I would say Akol Bo Bitul Sham, because I'll say that someone else maybe came in and was mashed in there or was rakak there. In other words, if you tell me that look is you can't daven unless you go away for Amos, then you'll never be able to daven any place, because any place that you daven, you want to daven, it could be at some point somebody went there, somebody urinated there, somebody spat, and therefore you would not be allowed to daven. So therefore, the proper thing is that therefore it means that just to wait the amount of time for Amos, that's the shear where we say that it would be considered okay. In other words, again, so the halakha, the Gemara is telling you, is that bringing a raya in favor of the Shita that says that you have to go ahead, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that it takes the amount of time. Because it was actually the distance, that you have to go that distance, you could have a kasha and say that you can never dive in any place. Because at some point, somebody at one point was mashed in this particular spot. So how do you dive in there? So obviously Mar says, we're talking about cases where it's an amount of time, and therefore, that makes sense. If you wait that amount of time, Don Amos, then you could go ahead and dive in where you are, where you spat, and or if you spat, you can go ahead and complete, wait the amount of time and begin to daven as well. That is what the Gemara is telling you is to the Gavgav Dan Amos, Chukei Mugum Akshon Sfasai. That again, the reason why you have to separate for Amos, because we say that even if it got absorbed in the ground, that since you're when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you daven usually for up to 4 amos, your lips are still moving. So Mela has to be where you separate from yourself in that spot, wait about that amount of time, and it would no longer be here and would not be considered a difference. Now, Lamais again, the Gemara discusses what the difference between Ami and Avakiba Yaakov. So you have again different opinions as to how to read the Gemara. The Gemara comes out Aloka Lamaisa, that we don't hold you have to move. We just hold Aloka Lamaisa, says the Rosh Misalo, that you have to go ahead and wait to heluk, to wait amount that amount of time. And then you can dive in wherever you are. You can dive in, even if it's visible, as long as it's not, there's no mareach ra anymore. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael, it's a watcher, it's a tivash v'etzim. The Gabi Tzoya, excrement of a person. You know, look, you have to wait until tivash v'etzim, it becomes dry as a bone. If it becomes dry as a bone, it's no longer considered davar mos. And therefore, you're able to go ahead and dive in such a place. Rosh Mishalov says, what does that mean? It means that you have to wait, that the time that it's something that's there that you have to remove, once it's at that level, it's dried up. But you can even say Kriyashma, Davin, Kinegda, it's not a problem because it's like not here anymore. It's gone. Urine, if you have Mayim, urine, even if it's absorbed in the ground, you have to wait. Even though it's still able to go ahead and you see that, it's still liquid. The look is you can go ahead, you can dive in there. And when we say like anything else, something that's liquid, normally means matpiyak, means matpiyak al master atfiyak. That's enough to make other things liquid wet as well. So when it says over here, matpiyak al master atfiyak, as the Rashi Salur says, that has to be weighted at about the time, as long as you have that absorbed in the ground, and even though it still makes other things wet, it's still wet, it didn't dry up completely, it's still considered mutter to be able to say Kriya Shema Yehud, as according to the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shita of the Rambam. Geneva, Amar Geneva said, Naya, she calls Mancha Yishuma Nikar. Geneva is a name used for Rav, that calls Mancha Yishuma Nikar anytime that we have that he could still see the Nikar. In other words, that you it urinated and you still see the mark on the ground. Now, not that it just moist left, that's Manasa Manasat Fiat, but you actually see the Rishumo, you see the Ein Mat Bikanas, even if it didn't absorb yet. But if it's Rishumo Nikar, if you see that there's some remnant, it could be, you can see that there's it's a look as it's considered, that's the look we consider where it's Aser. In other words, the Iser of Meir Aglayim is not, as long as it's still, you could see that it was urinated, you could see that it was the person urinated there. Even though it wasn't Manas al Matlat Fiyak, that's the criteria for be able to go ahead and to daven. Gemara says, Shmuel Lama, Achikob B'Nah, different, doesn't mean, what's the shield of excrement, of waste that's considered Asir until Panea, its surface becomes Kremah, becomes like a crust on it. So that's different. Again, we said before, Rav said it has to be completely Yavish. And now we're saying that Momekel and say it doesn't have to be completely Yavish. Shmuel says that it could be, even if it's just the outside became a little bit crusted, is sufficient. The same idea, it should be considered a little bit crusted. So in other words, Rav said that you have to have Kamamish completely dry. And he's saying, you know, as long as it's still a little bit, it's still moist, but it's a little bit on the outer layer, that's considered Yavish. So Malamayim Mitzoa. Said that this is the B'nai Moshe explains, it's a kula, unlike Rabbi, it has to be mamish dry, even if it's over here, this level, where it's just yikrim panel, surface became a little crusted, that's considered good enough, and you put them in tefillah. And then it would be asher daven until that point. Says the Gemara, if you have tsoa, even if it's mamish as dry as a bone, it's asher to learn and say Kriya Shema in that particular place. Now again, what's the halacha? When it says that before we said if it's yavesh, it's considered good, and now we're saying that it's this shita of Yom Zemirav, I feel asuri ke etzem asuri, if it's mamish made of dry, it's like an etzem, it's still considered asur. So the question is, why didn't we have it, what was different than we said before? Because before we said that you have to go when it's yavesh. Now we're saying, even if it's not yavesh, that it's considered asur, as long as it becomes dried enough, it's considered asur. It's different. That was until it's mamish etzim is asur. Here we say it's not that level. Is it? Why should it be asur? It's only akrama benet. It's much less of a level of it becoming hardened. So mamela, maybe there also we consider be mekel and say it's not considered tsoa, and you'll be allowed to daven there. So Gemara says no. So Gemara says, "Amar Chizkiyahu said, Rabbi Abba machmir b'mayim yosem and atzoa. Rabbi Abba's machmir more with urine that it's usher to daven, usher to learn, then it would be even the waste itself. The question is why? Well, why should it be more? If anything, it should be less common. It gets absorbed in the ground. Why do we say that we're machmir on mayim more than other things that we have? Why is this considered a particular chumrah that we're makbid on? So the Gemara says that so the Gemara answers, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Manoah, Rabbi Manoah says, Menahadar the Geneva. From the statement of Geneva, who says that the Meraglayim is Aser, if it's Nikur, Shumo Nikur, then it's that's the sheet that's more chumrah, then Hashem will tell you the same halacha, that it's over here is also considered a chumrah. If over there is a chumrah, maybe over here also he's saying it's a chumrah. Maybe what's our Rabbi Shita? What is he saying? Well, is he? How do we read it now? Is it coming to argue Again, it's the way that the Haredim don't seem to learn the Gemara's Kasha, but Moshe Zol Arichos learning it a little differently. Gemara says, "Me'adu Kama, the name is that this, that we meant? How did you explain to we what it said? The Gabi that did it being Kama, why is it more Kama?" So Gemara says, "Namalei, the reason why he said more Kama is Afilu Etzim Asura Asura. Means even if it was made as dry as an Atsuma, it's still considered Asur. But since it's kum, it's my mush says kum, it says kiyum, but my mema said kum. And my mema does not have any substances to it. So therefore, we want it to be together. We want it to be that when we say one, it should be a Torah, you should be able to do both, that both of them are considered. Asuik etzem is the same idea, mefiash mekim, and both of them we understand what they are. So Mar said, maybe that's what he's telling him. It's not the halacha, they're not arguing Rabbah's halacha, but they're arguing whether the halacha, the second halacha, whether it's considered too much mekel. What does that mean? So the Gemara said, right, so this is the Gemara questioning would be the, what would be the halacha here? How are we paskin? So we have a machlokes again, is Chizkiyo coming to explain Rabbah's halacha, or is Chizkiyo coming to argue Rabbah's halacha? So we have seem to have two different opinions in the Gemara, and they seem to say that Chizkiyo is arguing, and he's saying that Rav, quote, why did he quote him if he didn't hold like him? If he did hold like him, then he's missing everything. Then he didn't hold like him. Then what is the shit of why the Gemara is saying that you can't go ahead and daven if it turned hard? So what? It should be makel here. So Gemara said, the Gemara seems to be left unclear as to what exactly his shit is. Man shit is legabe the din of daraisa of things being considered of rebuttal. The things are considered, not considered anymore, enough that you could go ahead and consider it should be part of the halacha of what's considered usur or not.